The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
I'm going to preach a short message, hopefully, titled The Fundamentals of Marital Relationship. Before you start driving, there are some things which are fundamental. They are basic. You should know the ABC of driving. Recently, we went to pray in the woods, and one of our pastors shared a story in the office regarding a young man who was rising with a potential in the office. And management liked the way he worked, so they decided that they would buy him a new four-wheel drive to facilitate his movement and to enhance the work. This vehicle was brought to the premises, and this gentleman was asked to pick the vehicle. If you don't know how to drive, tell the people they should keep the vehicle. They should give you 1 month. You go and learn and come. So this gentleman took the car keys and jumped in it as if he was one of the taxi drivers who could do corner fast. You know what I'm talking about. Then he moved the vehicle. Then unfortunately, bam, he must have hit the gate. So the car was taken from him. Had to be repaired. Brand new car. And later on, he had to go through the rudiments, the basics of driving before he was given the vehicle. People assume that because I'm handsome and beautiful, I can handle a marriage. There are people who are more pretty than you, but they couldn't handle it. People assume that because, my complexion is on high demand and my vital statistics are beyond even all the others. So as for me, I can handle it. Some people say, I know how to cook. When I cook and you eat, you'll be slain in the Holy Spirit. Somebody is saying cook at home. So you may have bits and pieces of this, but you realize that you will need more than just that to be a successful partner. Somebody says, normally the older nurses know some medication more than the newly qualified doctors. Because they have worked with Professor Pobi and worked with Professor Nyantechi and worked with Professor this. So they've heard the medications that were prescribed and they know it. If you are a smart young doctor, you will relate to the older nurses and learn from them. Put your hands together, son. Joseph, you and I don't know it all. Rose, you and I don't know it all. This is a learning process that we are going to start. And because of that, we must take every message on relationships seriously. I've seen people when they are in relationship seminar, they don't care because they think that their marriage is working. It may be working today, but there are challenges tomorrow. I didn't hear an amen. And a wise person has extra oil. You equip yourself with knowledge ahead of time. So when you get there, you'll be able to handle the situation. When I hear there's a relationship seminar, a love seminar, and the message was good, I want to hear it and add it to the stock of understanding I have so that I can improve on what I'm doing. But some of you have graduated so much that you keep referring to the number of years you have been married, but it's not the number of years. It's the amount of wisdom that you are gathering over the period.
Oh, I didn't hear an amen.
If you look through your lineage, your family, and things are not working, then it means you must understand something that they didn't understand. So that yours doesn't end like this. I didn't hear an amen. A young lady must not allow a gentleman to come and wrap you.
And tell you that I have a chain of five restaurants.
And I do buying and selling business. I own three farms at Amasama.
And then the guy just keeps talking.
He's bubbling. And then you follow him.
Your wisdom in discerning is suspect.
Because you don't follow a man because he's bragging.
Can I hear an amen from someone?
There are certain things that we have to be sure the person can do. When you are sad, does he have the capacity to make you happy? Or is he the Professor Powerful kind of husband?
Oh, you're not getting me.
When we were young, there used to be drama in Ghana on the national television. One particular character that I liked, I think he used to act with Mr. Mensah, and it was Professor Powerful. And I believe Professor Powerful's role was like, if you were weeping, Powerful would come and say, Powerful, Powerful. Are you marrying somebody who is of the Professor Powerful kind? That he doesn't have patience. He doesn't have the understanding. He doesn't have the ability and the skill to handle you and to get you out of that situation. So I'm going to outline a few things. And they are by no means exhaustive. They are just because of our limited time and some of the things that we should take note of. Can I hear an amen? Oh, let me hear an amen. Number one, develop the skill to forgive. There are some families, forgiveness is a big problem. It's an examination they never pass. And God keeps repeating the past questions, but they never get over it. Because if you offend them today, they will even remember it in their grave. Those categories of people don't forget your past mistakes. Anytime there is a current challenge, they will go into your archives and open your repertoire of mistakes. Did I say repertoire? Open your mistakes and bring out everything you have done to them. So problems are never solved. In the context of forgiveness, it doesn't depend on emotions. It doesn't depend on your feeling. It depends on a decision. That I have been hurt and offended by this person. And the direction I'm going is not good enough for me. So I choose to forgive. If you have to depend on your emotions, it will still get negative and negative. And if you don't take care, you will slide down into depression. And sometimes you will be the candidate, God forbid, for mental health problems. Our siblings will offend us. But we need to know how to relate to them after that. Joseph's brothers offended him. And if I were him, I would prepare a proper prison and put them inside the prison and give them one meal per day and make them weed the whole farm and teach them a lesson. But when they came to buy grains, Joseph recognized them, went to weep, and came back. And he authorized the servants to put each person's money into the pack of grains. So if you bought 500 cedis worth of grains, they put it back into your sack. 300 cedis worth of grain, it went back. And they went back. When they went, they put back. They saw their money, they couldn't understand. And they needed another supply, so they came back. Joseph at the time had to weep and disclose himself to them. And they started blaming each other. Didn't I tell you not to touch him? Didn't I tell you not to put him into the pit? You see where? Now the man they wanted to eliminate has become a prime minister. Listen to Joseph. You meant it for evil, but God turned it around for my good. Sometimes God wants you to know early those who don't really love you, so that you know how to relate to them. You don't open too much of your prosperity to them. You just have to keep them somewhere in the distance. If they are hungry, feed them. But you don't bring them to your inner circle, because they don't need to be. And you don't speak negative about them. Can you put your hands together some? So if you forgive, that is the end. You don't keep repeating it. I've been in marriage counseling, where counselor A counseled the people, and the guy repeated the things that he was offended with. Counselor B came in and he repeated the same thing. Then I'm counselor C. I've gone and the person is repeating, and I'm asking, the Bible says love covereth a multitude of sins. So where is love in this gentleman who has become so self-righteous that he won't forgive the woman? I have good news for you. Anytime you have to forgive and you've refused to forgive, you are likely to commit the same offenses that other party committed before you were offended. A gentleman was offended by the wife grievously, and I don't have to tell you what happened. Not once, not twice, thrice. I went into counsel, he refused to forgive. And when the wife got pregnant, the marriage was just young. He was so angry that he wouldn't even agree that he was the one who impregnated her. And neglected her for 9 months. The country where they live is not like Ghana. The laws work. So the parents of the lady got a lawyer to write that during the period of neglect, you didn't even accompany her for antenatal. During the period of neglect, you didn't even see or know what they ate. Now the case is becoming a hot case for court. He was offended. He failed to forgive. Now he has committed another offense that is taking him back to court. And if he says he wants a divorce, then he'll be made to pay child support. As for the child support, it's not this 500 cedis and 300 cedis. They will slap the thing on you. Tell the next person, forgive, forgive. Forgive, forgive, because otherwise you will have BP problems. you will have heart problems. Your whole body, God didn't create your body to live on bitterness. You will find that when you don't forgive, you do everything by anger. But the Bible says the anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Sometimes you see a husband, all he's doing is in anger. Sometimes it's the wife. You are an angry man. You will make mistakes that you will regret about. And your other party will now be celebrating because you made the mistakes. May God help us to be discerning and give us the capacity to say enough is enough, and that we leave it and we drop it and we move forward. God may have plans for you like Joseph. That's why he will allow your brothers and siblings and co-workers to offend you. If you trust God and leave it with God, God will direct your path. And tomorrow they come and meet you on a higher pedestal, and they will need your support. If you agree with me, put your hands together. So number one is forgiveness. Tell the next person, I've forgiven you. I've forgiven you. I've forgiven you, cry. Number two is patience. Patience means waiting for the timing of God. Impatience takes things in people's own hands, and they do things the way they want it. But patience makes you take your time. Even when you are angry, you defer your anger. A man that beats or slaps a woman is the man that has the problem, not the woman. Okay, pastor, no mean fading. She jam me. The body jaw me in a boon. You're fast. To my computer, in bed to him, to my computer. You have the problem because you couldn't control yourself. So patience, number one, means to go with the timing of God. Number two, patience means ability to defer your anger. Number three, patience means ability to control and manage your hurts and pain. Don't let your hurts drive you. The Bible talks about Reuben, that they were hurt and they entered into a place and killed all the men in town. There are some in jail. If they had been a little patient, they would not have committed the criminal offense that they did, and would have been spared. So Joseph rose. We need patience. Sometimes people grow gradually, others grow fast. You may have a class three. Some children, it takes time before they get the concept in mathematics. Others, by the time the teacher starts, they know it already. But if you give the others time, they will rise to the occasion. They will write the same exams and probably do better than the others. Number three, quality time. Successful relationships require time together, and they make this time intentionally. They make this time to help them in the area of getting close and having intimacy so that they deepen their relationship. You need time together. I remember a marriage counsel where the man, when he married the woman, had no accommodation. So he had to be in the accommodation of the woman. And it was one room. So it had a partition, a wooden plank from wall to wall with a curtain, like the curtain of Jerusalem. And in the night, they were living there. The gentleman was living there with the mother-in-law. That means the lady's mother was living with them. So in the night, when the gentleman drew closer to her, said, "Hey, don't touch me. My mother will hear." For 6 months, it was, "Don't touch me." Because any groaning and moaning will be heard behind the curtains. Even the mother-in-law can peep and see it. In that situation, privacy is not, it's compromised. And you need a place. So if you haven't got that place, then find a place. Travel together. Go to Bono East. Yeah. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. I didn't hear an amen. I remember when my children were very young, maybe 6, 4, and 2, or 3, 5, and 7. And at a stage, I wasn't driving because I had no vehicle. I will call one of the deacons of the church. I'll call Deacon Fifi. And I say, "Deacon Fifi, like, he knows how to swim. I don't know, but I like being in water body." And I wanted the children to have an experience. So we'll drive to the outskirts of town. Not far, within 45 minutes, 1 hour. We'll go with jollof rice from home, hidden in the car as we enter into the place. So we have a complete meal. Then we'll buy one piece of kebab for each of the three children, plus one fizzy drink for each of the three children, and pay 20 cedis for their swimming. If you add all, it's less than 100 cedis at a time. Oh, come on. You're not putting your hands together. We'll go and swim. We will have kebabs to eat. We'll have fizzy drinks. And it's all less than 200 cedis. And the deacon will drive us back home. And we'll take pictures and be happy. You don't need a whole mountain of money to make your relationship work. You can do Gary Photo instead of jollof rice. Oh, come on, come on. The place we went, there was a tennis court. If you wanted to play tennis, you paid additional 20 for the children. And we played tennis with the children. We exercised. When we came back, we were happy. But you have been sitting in the house with the children and your wife from crank crank to crank crank. For you, the summation of every equation ends with banku, red or pepper, and fish. That's the provision you make in the house. So your wife is not entitled. You leave the children with their auntie or grandmother, and little people go somewhere. Visit and have fun. Oh, put your hands together. Put it.
But where you are, there's always trouble. Nah, jelly bile.
Ebachon amankani kishui mukosi ahi. He said, "You don't need to be hearing this all the time." Turn to the next person and say, "Share quality time together." even as a family, all of you can go out to help in the bonding. So I'm going to number four. Number four. Be sacrificial. Be selfless. Selfishness destroys a marriage. A selfish person is only committed to himself and to no other. Jesus was not committed to himself. He gave himself as a sacrifice and as an offering unto mankind. Self-centeredness destroys. And it's me, and it's me, and it's me. You don't have any plans for them. Be selfless. Go the second mile. Number five. Honesty and trust. Honesty has to do with transparency. You are clear through and through. Trust has to do with what you say you would do and you do it. If you say you will build dams in every village, you must build it. If you say every constituency you will give us $1 million per month, you must do it. Now you see, you think I'm sounding very political. Otherwise, you may have done a good job overall, but there will be an issue of trust. There are some of you who can promise the whole world, Successful people don't talk too much. And they don't reveal the secrets of their success. Samson talked too much. And he revealed the secret of his head. And he was defeated. Shoes, no, le boni hele. Oguda. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. So the thing becomes a trust issue. Because you say you do, you promise, and you don't do it. Some of the African fathers, they have been promising since Kwame Nkrumah's administration. But they don't do it. When there's a promise, the plans are hard for my son. Show us what you're unfolding toward your son. The last point is love. Everybody say love. When we talk about love, it's not a fleeting emotion. When we say something is fleeting, it means that thing is passing away. That is, thing is changing quickly. That thing doesn't last long. There is an emotional aspect of love. But love is rooted in a decision for God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners Christ died for us. It was a decision. There was nothing to be desired about us on earth. Everything was filthy. God should have wiped us away, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners and we were not pleasing to him, Christ came to die for us. So love is a decision. Then the emotions follow. Just as forgiveness is a decision. And the emotions follow. The decision to be committed to the other party, the decision whether rain or shine. Pastor, yes, I understand. They are challenges. But your decision, your commitment to love must remain. Put your hands together. Your decision to follow Christ didn't say you won't have challenges. But he says, when you go through the waters, I will be with you. God promises when we go through the fire, he will go with us so the fire does not kindle upon us. So there will be waters that may want to drown us. And there may be fire that may want to consume us. But our decision to follow Christ must remain solid. Paul said, Demas has forsaken me. Demas was a minister of the gospel. He was like me. He was anointed. But when things got tough, Demas, a preacher, backslided. And Paul couldn't find him. Judas should not have backslided because of the grace of God on Christ. But he hadn't made a quality decision to follow Christ. Demas should not have backslidden, but he didn't have that quality decision. There are some of you, you come to church, as soon as you have problems, then you will not be seen. David served God and had serious problems. The head of state at that time saw, you state machinery to persecute him. You haven't been persecuted by the DC, neither the regional minister. How much more the head of state, using the army and the police and the navy and all the forces, including the Air Force, to look for you and to deal with you. But David survived it. Let's clap for God. Oh, let's clap better for God.
Love
is not, it's not a stiff
state of affairs.
So that love is stiff.
But love is flexible.
Love laughs.
Love plays.
Love shares jokes.
Love will pat the wife on the back.
Amen.
Love will sing a song to the wife when need be.
Love can even take a jingle from television or radio and sing a song and make the house happy. Love plans for dinners.
Joseph, if I came to your house and there's no smile, then I'll be surprised.
Rose, there must be permanent smiles in the house. There may be periods of challenge, but as for smile, how can I preach without smile?
Oh, but in here, back with you again.
I'll preach hell and brimstone. I'll preach Lucifer and Adam to be. Those will be the topics I will preach on. Every leader, if you study about leadership, one of the traits that a leader must have is sense of humor. You don't force jokes, but they just come naturally. And if you are the leader of a family, your sense of humor must reflect.
Can you put your hands together?
That is what we call romantic love. I don't want to take you back there. You can go on the internet. You will hear my message on romantic love. I'm just watering it down small for you. So after service, you don't just stiff. You don't talk to anybody, because when you talk to anybody, they will contaminate you. You don't have a friend in church. You don't talk to anybody. You are very stiff. Oh. The Bible says, and they came to Jesus and said, your friend Lazarus. Jesus had a friend. Your friend Lazarus is sick to the point of death. Your spouse must be your friend. You may have had other friends in school, fine. But they don't interfere with the friendship you have with your spouse. Can you give the one next to you a high five and say, may the blessings of God rest upon you? Oh, give the person a high five. May the blessings of God rest upon you. Be flexible. Be pleasant. Follow after the principles of God. But make your home a happy home. Oh, put your hands together. The Lord bless you. I say, God bless you again. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. If there's anyone here that wants to give their life to Jesus Christ and receive him as Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity. If you want to give your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that he will come and live in your heart and make you a new creature, that he will put his spirit in you, that he will accept you and forgive you of your sin, that when Jesus shall come back to take all to himself, that you'll be part of it. Raise up your right hand. I want to just raise up your right hand. I want to pray with you. Say after me, Heavenly Father, today I come to you just as I am. Lord, take me, wash me, cleanse me, and make me pure. Today, I declare, I receive, by your grace, forgiveness of sin. I therefore invite into my heart Jesus as my Savior and as my Lord. Lord, write my name in your book of life, so that when I leave this world, I will have a place with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can you clap your hands to the Lord?